Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Thank you so much, Isaiah. Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday morning. Hey. Time for another edition of the Gospel of Working from Home. Today's topic is Personal Development Part 2. Personal Development Part 2. And some people say, well, why is personal development so important? It's because you must constantly be working on yourself. Let's see. Being in business for yourself is about working on yourself. I had several different meetings I attended yesterday, and one of those meetings had a long discussion with another colleague about feeling worthy, you know. So I had to share with him about, you know, the whole personal development piece, because he was just saying a lot of times as an entrepreneur, he doesn't feel worthy that success is, that he's worth the success that he's having. And, you know, just be going through that. And I told him, I said, that comes from that we weren't born into this thing called entrepreneurship, building a business, rising above circumstances that we were born into in terms of our community. And so a lot of times, yes, we're going to have those self-doubting beliefs and self-doubting ideas that are we worthy of what we're doing, because we were taught primarily to grow up and get a job, and that's the way we were raised. And I'm talking about most people in the African-American community. And the discussion went yesterday was one of the people who I was having this discussion with was saying that a lot of times they didn't feel worthy they were doing, because it's just so getting used to managing your time, because most times if you have a job, your job manages your time, tells you what to do. And in most cases, you know, we don't have that freedom to be all that we can be. I'm going to read a short piece here from a book that I'm going through right now called The Motivation Manifesto. And opening paragraph is so powerful. It talks about freedom, and it's from Mahatma Gandhi. And I get to my page here, and it goes like this. A vibrant, genuine, and purposeful life is the right of all humankind. But most of us fail to grasp it. We are lions and lionesses living as mice. Rather than exploring free on a savanna, we are living small and distracted lives. It is the calling of each man and woman who draws breath to have a grand vision for our lives and to each day claim the vastness of that vision. Yet rather than stalk our dreams with abandon, we too often sit and sought blaming and complaining, chasing after paltry goals that cheat the magnificence of our being. Is this our true nature? Surely not. We were all meant to be wild and independent and free, our hearts filled with ferocious passion for life. The day is meant to be ours, and our purpose within it is to live as who we truly are and enjoy the full terrain of life's freedom as we chase our own meaning and purpose, our own legacy. If we can unchain ourselves from social restrictions, we can have that day and we can leap and stretch, expressing our power to its limits. We can hunt our dreams with ferociousness unimagined, and by those creatures trapped in the wastelands of stress and sorrow. So let us not forget the thing we are after. Humankind's main motivation is to seek and experience personal freedom. Personal freedom. And that's why this whole piece on personal development is so, so important. See, you're either growing or you're dying. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You're either growing or you're dying. You're either building or you're losing. And see, too often, because everything has been set up to control us, that we do not get to the point of thinking the way we need to think and have the freedom that we need to have and express it in our lives through our everyday actions. And personal development is key to being able to obtain that freedom that we're looking for. See, we also had a discussion yesterday about the difference between religion and spirituality. Religion gives us a dogma and a doctrine that you say you have to follow. Spirituality is about finding that inner peace, that inner being, that inner strength, knowing that you are connected to the divine force. Religion gives you a bunch of rules and regulations from 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago that half the time don't make sense. And, you know, and this is not an attack on people's religion. Ask yourself, what is the difference between religion and spirituality? And when one focuses on spirituality, then you can get beyond the religious dogma of you got to recite this 5 times and you got to do these Hail Marys and all of this other stuff that they have to tell people you got to do in order to find your connection to God or the God force. And they give you a bunch of deities that you're supposed to worship. God don't need you worshiping a bunch of different deities. What we need to do is worship the God force inside of ourselves, which means you have to take, as I said in my last show, from the first chapter of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, inner space, going inside. When you go inside, see, then you're going to find what it is that you're looking for and connect yourself with the great forces that's in the universe. So, you know, we want to open up with that piece. Now I have something else I want to share with you. One of the great people who talked about personal development, and this is from Mr. Jim Rohn, and he talked about the formula for success and failure is the same. He said, failure is not a single catastrophic event. It is not a single catastrophic event. Neither is success a single event. It's a series of things. As Jim Rohn talks about, I'm trying to get my article to come up here so that I can accurately quote what he says in the article. My computer's moving a little slow here, but hold on here for me. But he talks about little things that we put off today that have an impact down the road. But because we don't see it immediately, we don't think that it's going to have an impact down the road. And he uses such as examples as eating that extra piece of cake. We don't see where the weight comes on from eating that extra piece of cake, because you don't blow up overnight. You blow up over time. And what I mean by blow up, the weight, you know, comes on over time. He says, failure is not a single catastrophic event. We do not fail overnight. Failure is the inevitable result of an accumulation of poor thinking and poor habits. The price we must pay for our poor choices, choices that didn't seem to matter. Those who eat too many of the wrong foods are contributing to their bad health long term. You don't see it short term, you see it long term. So it's important that we understand that and recognize that, because that's what's holding a lot of us back. We don't see the long term effects of little things that we do. To the wrong voices and making the wrong choices. The sky did not fall on us yesterday, therefore the act was probably harmless, since it seemed to have no measurable consequence. It's probably safe to repeat. But we must become better educated than that. If at the end of the day, when we made our first error in judgment, the sky hadn't fallen on us, we undoubtedly feel as though, hey, what I did had no consequences. But in reality, it did have consequences. And so it's important to make sure that we understand those consequences. Important to understand the consequences of making the choices that we made. So let me move on to the rest of this article here. Hold on, bear with me a second. We're having these little technical, I hate when I have these technical glitches coming up. You know, I had everything laid out for the show, except for computer speed. So, okay, here we go. All right. I think I'm set now. I can it can flow straight on through for the rest of the show. All right. He said, failure is nothing more than a few errors in judgment repeated every day. Now, why would someone make an error in judgment and then be foolish as to repeat it every day? The answer is because he or she does not think that it matters. On their own, our daily acts do not seem that important. A minor oversight, a poor decision, a wasted hour generally doesn't result in an instant or measurable impact. More often than not, we escape from our immediate consequences of our deeds. If we have not bothered to read a single book in the past 90 days, and this is very, very key here, because, you know, leaders are readers. And that's why I have an issue with Mr. Number 45, Donald Trump, who says he doesn't like to read. How are you going to be a world leader? That's not something you're looking to be if you don't like to read. And those of us that are in business for ourselves, we must always constantly be reading new information. People a lot of times ask me, why are you reading so many different books? So I can get a variety of different ideas. I want a variety of different ideas. But just think about this. If you haven't read a book in the past 90 days, the lack of discipline does not seem to have any immediate impact on our lives. Since nothing drastically happened to us after the first 90 days, we repeat the error in judgment for another 90 days, and on it goes. Why? Because it doesn't seem to matter. And herein lies the great danger. Far worse than not reading books is not realizing that it matters. See, like I said, those who eat too many of the wrong foods will contribute to a future health problem. But the joy of the moment overshadows the consequences of the future. It does not seem to matter. Those who smoke too much or drink too much go on making those poor choices year after year after year because it doesn't seem to matter. But the pain and regret of those errors in judgment only have been delayed for a future time. Hear that part? The pain and the regret have only been delayed for a future time. So what we do today does matter in the future. And it's the same with building your business. With building your business, what you do today will matter down the road. So make sure you take care of your customers, take care of your clients, go the extra mile, do all that you can do to help them out, because consequences are seldom instant. Instead, they accumulate into the inevitable day a reckoning finally arrives and the price must be paid for our poor choices. Choices that didn't seem to matter. The formula for failure. Failure's most dangerous attribute is so subtle. In short terms, those little errors didn't seem to make any difference. We do not seem to be failing. In fact, sometimes These accumulated errors and judgments occur throughout a period of great joy and prosperity in our lives. Since nothing terrible happened to us, since there are no instant consequences to capture our attention, we simply drift from one day to the next, repeating the errors, thinking the wrong thoughts, listening to the wrong voices, and making the wrong choices. The sky did not fall on us yesterday, therefore the act was probably harmless, since it seemed to have no measurable consequence. It's probably safe to repeat. But we must become better educated than that. If at the end of the day, when we made our first error in judgment, the sky hadn't fallen on us, we undoubtedly would have taken immediate steps to ensure that that act would never be repeated again. Like the child who places his hand on a hot burner despite his parents' warning, would have an instantaneous experience accumulating an error in judgment. Unfortunately, failure does not shout out its warnings as our parents once did. This is why it's imperative to refine our philosophy in order to be able to make better choices with a powerful personal philosophy guiding our every step. We become more aware of our errors in judgment and more aware that each error really does matter. Now, here's the great news. Just like the formula for failure, there's a formula for success. It's easy to follow. It's a few simple disciplines practiced every day. The formula for success. Now, here's an interesting question worth pondering. How can we change the errors in the formula for failure into the disciplines required in the formula of success? The answer is by making the future an important part of our current philosophy. If this is true, why don't more people take time to ponder the future? Both success and failure involve future consequences, namely the inevitable rewards or unavoidable regrets resulting from past activities. If this is true, why don't more people take time to ponder the future? The answer is simply, they are so caught up in the current moment that it doesn't seem to matter. The problems and the rewards of today are so absorbing to some human beings that they never pause long enough to think about tomorrow. What is your tomorrow thinking? What is your tomorrow thinking plan? How do you plan for tomorrow? How do you think about tomorrow? You know what I mean? It's so important to have a tomorrow plan. But if we did develop a new discipline to take just a few minutes every day to look a little further down the road, we would then be able to foresee the impending consequences of our current conduct. You know, we have to see what we're currently doing, how it will affect us down the road. Armed with that valuable information, we would be able to take the necessary action to change our errors into new success-oriented disciplines. In other words, by disciplining ourselves to see the future in advance, we would be able to change our thinking, amend our errors, and develop new habits to replace the old. One of the exciting things about the formula for success, a few simple disciplines practiced every day, is that the results are almost immediate. As we voluntarily change daily errors into daily disciplines, we experience positive results in a very short period of time. When we change our diet, our health improves noticeably in just a few weeks. We start exercising, we feel a new vitality almost immediately. When we begin reading, we experience a growing awareness and a new level of self-confidence. Whatever new discipline we begin to practice daily will produce exciting results that will drive us to becoming even better at developing new disciplines. The real magic of new discipline is that they will cause us to amend our thinking. If we were to start to read the books, kept a journal, attend classes, listen more, and observe more, then today would be the first day of a new life leading to a better future. If we were to start today to try harder in every way, make a conscious and consistent effort to change subtle and deadly errors into constructive and rewarding disciplines, we would never again settle for a life of existence, not once we have tasted the fruits of a life of substance. We want a life of substance, so it's important that we focus on how to have some daily disciplines that help us be able to move forward. Why you need discipline to achieve a good life? We spend a lot of our lives gathering knowledge, skills, and experiences, but what are we doing with it? What's the core of achieving a good life? It's not learning how to set goals. It is not learning how to better manage your time. It's not mastering the attributes of leadership. Every day in a thousand different ways, we are trying to improve ourselves by learning how to do things. We spend a lifetime gathering knowledge in classrooms and textbooks and experiences and in knowledge. And if knowledge is power, if knowledge is the forerunner to success, why do we fall short from our objectives? Why, in spite of all of our knowledge and collective experience, do we find ourselves aimlessly wandering? We find ourselves aimlessly wandering, settling in for a life of existence rather than a life of substance. Are you just existing, or are you achieving the substance of the things that you wish for and hope for? You know, see, and that's key. You know, I mean, it's a good definition of faith. Faith is the absence of things that we look for immediately, but the substance of things to come. See, so you have to have strong faith that what you're working on is going to bring forth the substance of the things that you wish to see happen in your life. That's where the discipline comes in. See, and if knowledge is power and knowledge is a forerunner to success, why do we fall short from our objectives? Why, in spite of all of the knowledge and collective experience, do we find ourselves aimlessly wandering, settling for a life of existence rather than a life of substance? There might be many answers to this question. Your answer might be different from everyone else you know. Although there might be many answers to this question, the ultimate answer might be the absence of discipline in applying knowledge. The key word is discipline, as in self-discipline. It doesn't really matter how smart you are if you don't use your knowledge. It doesn't really matter that you graduated magna cum laude if you're stuck in a low-paying job. It doesn't really matter that you attended every seminar that comes to town if you don't apply what you learn. I know a lot of people that get on conference calls, they attend seminars and events, and it seems as nothing's changing for them. Why? Because there's knowledge and then there's applied knowledge. We need to make sure we use that applied knowledge. How do you apply it to your situation and your circumstance? But sometimes, you know, it can be frustrating because, you know, you're trying to change years and years of bad habits. You know, habits are easy to learn and hard to break. We spend our lives gathering knowledge, gathering skills, gathering experiences. But we must also apply knowledge, skills, and experiences we gather in the realm of life and business. We must learn to use what we've learned. And once we've applied our knowledge, we must study the results of that process and refine our approach. Finally, by trying and observing, refining, and trying again, our knowledge will inevitably produce worthy, admirable results. With the joy and results of our efforts, we continue to fuel our ambition with the positive reinforcement of continued progress. Pretty soon, we'll find that we're swept into a spiral of achievement, a virtual rise to success. And the ecstasy of total experiences makes for a life triumphant over tragedy, dullness, and mediocrity. But for this whole process to work for us, we must first master the art of consistent self-discipline. It takes consistent self-discipline to master the art of setting goals, time management, leadership, partnering in relationships. If we don't make consistent self-discipline a part of our daily lives, the results we seek will be sporadic and elusive. It takes a consistent effort to truly manage our valuable time. Without it, we will be consistently frustrated. Our time will be eaten up by others whose demands are stronger than our own. You see, that's important to understand this whole time management piece. It's like I plan my week, I plan my schedule, and sometimes people are calling me in the middle of the week and want to know, can they meet with me? I don't do sporadic stuff. My week is planned. And I let them know. I said, you know, hey, I'll see what day I'm available next week. I said, but, you know, you got to get in touch with me like a week to 2 weeks in advance so that I can put you on the schedule. Because if I supersede and put you on the schedule sporadically, then that bumps somebody else who had already planned to meet with, which is not good. So time management is very, very important. And, you know, it's important to let people know that you operate by a schedule, that you schedule what you do. See, and without that, we will be constantly frustrated. Cannot do sporadic stuff. Our time will be eaten up by others whose demands are stronger than our own. My demand on my time is more important than anybody else's. It takes discipline to conquer the nagging voices in our minds, the fear of failure, the fear of success, the fear of poverty, the fear of a broken heart. It takes discipline to keep trying when the nagging voice within us brings up the possibility of failure. It takes discipline to admit our errors and recognize our limitations. The voice of human ego speaks to all of us. Sometimes their voice tells us to magnify our value or accomplishments beyond our actual results. It leads us to exaggerate, to not be totally honest. It takes discipline to be totally honest, both with ourselves and with others. Be certain of one thing. Extra exaggeration of truth, once detected by others, destroys our credibility. It makes all that we say and do suspect. As soon as a business colleague figures out that we tend to exaggerate, guess what? He or she will think we always exaggerate, and they'll never quite hold us in the same regard again, never. The tendency to exaggerate, distort, or even withhold the truth is an inherent part of all of us. It starts when we are children. Johnny says, I didn't do it. Well, maybe Johnny didn't do it, but he probably has something to do with it. And then it continues when we're adults, exaggerating the benefits of a product to make a sale, exaggerating the net worth to impress old friends, exaggerating how closer we are to closing the deal to impress the boss. Only an all-out discipline of self can overcome this tendency. It takes discipline to change a habit, because once habits are formed, they are like a giant cable, a nearly unbreakable instinct. It takes discipline to change a habit, because once habits are formed, they act like a giant cable, a nearly unbreakable instinct that only long-term discipline activity can change. We must unweave every strain of that cable of the habit slowly and methodically until the cable that once held us in bondage becomes nothing more than scattered strains of wire. It takes that constant application of new discipline, a more desirable discipline, to overcome one which is less desirable. It takes discipline to plan. It takes discipline to execute our plan. It takes discipline to look with full objectivity at the results of our applied plan. It takes discipline to change either our plan or our method of executing that plan if the results are poor. It takes discipline to be firm when the world throws opinions at our feet. Everybody's got an opinion about something. I had a teacher used to say, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but everybody's opinion ain't right. So we must remember that. People are always going to give you their opinion of what you're doing. But you have to stand firm and know that if you're doing what you're supposed to do and doing it right and disciplined to do it right, then, you know, hey, you can make it happen. And it takes discipline to ponder the value of someone else's opinion when our pride and our arrogance lead us to believe that we are the only ones with the answers. With this constant discipline applied to every area of our lives, we can discover untold miracles, uncover unique possibilities and opportunities. So there's, you know, some things that we need to focus on in terms of how to develop discipline. And I might have time to couple of those. Many people wonder how I manage to stay so disciplined. They think my life must be very hard because I'm always following a strict schedule. But when I was training to become an Olympic athlete, to now, since I've co-founded Obana Training, an online coaching service that helps people. And this article I'm reading from is by a former Olympic athlete. They talk about, you know, that it takes discipline to stay focused, you know, because if you have a schedule, it's like a training schedule. You know, I remember when I used to really train hard, came number one in high school. You know, it took discipline to hit 100 forehands down the line, 100 backhands cross court, serve the ball 100 times just so I can work on technique and discipline of what it's like to get that serve the way I needed to get it. So it takes discipline with our business. It takes discipline with our relationships. It takes discipline with everything that we do. It takes discipline to diet, because most people don't control what they eat. They just eat what they feel like eating and eat all the time. But it takes discipline to say, I'm going to diet. I'm not going to eat. I have a habit where I don't like to eat after 7 o'clock at night. Why? Because usually by 9 o'clock I'm laying down and food has not had a chance to digest. And what that means is that means gaining weight. And I try to watch my weight, because I can tell when I have too much weight, because I go to walk and I run out of breath. That's not good. So I make sure that I keep my weight at a certain weight so that I do not feel the rigmaroles of the things that can stop me. And there's some things that you can do to help you with achieving discipline daily. One, set big goals. When you challenge yourself to achieve bigger goals, you really dedicate yourself to the craft. The more time you spend on it, the harder it becomes to quit. Once you spend so much sweat, time, and effort on it, if you quit, it will be nothing. The bigger the goal, the more invested you become. Number two, set clear goals. Clearly define what your goal means to you and what you will specifically do to achieve it. If you set a goal to live healthier, for example, will you go running every day? And for how long? Will you eat healthy? If there's no clear goal, there's no opportunity to create specific steps you need to accomplish it. Know that every day matters. When you wake up in the morning, do you know what's most important for you to accomplish that day? Every goal, every priority you have to set for yourself has to be done. It will determine whether your dream lives or dies. Athletes know if they skip even one training session, they are already behind. They know they will lose a competition that is still 3 months away. If they don't do what they said they would, if they don't follow through with their plan, if they're not disciplined. Don't argue with the plan. Number four, if you want to go to the Olympics, each training session matters. There isn't one that's less important than the other. It's the same with everything else in your life. When you start the process, you cannot question it. You cannot hesitate. You cannot back down. You have to work every single day to reach your dream. Full force. Build a no matter what mindset. Build a mindset that no matter what, you will accomplish things when you say you would. Build a mindset that no matter what, you will accomplish the things when you said you would. No matter what, you have to create a pressure for yourself. Otherwise, nothing will get done. There's good stress and bad stress, and you have to make sure you are operating under good stress. Butterflies in the stomach, a manageable adrenaline that stimulates you. Here's a big one. Plan a routine. Create a routine that becomes second nature, automatic, normal. Athletes, for example, know what works and what hours they train and when to break for lunchtime and dinner time and when to rest. In training, they know they have to warm up, maintain training, and cool down and recovery. By following the same routine, it becomes second nature. The discipline preps them to win. Planning your own routine and sticking to it until it becomes automatic can prep you for success too. Commit. Discipline was instilled. The person writing this article said, discipline was instilled in them by their mom. When I would ask her if I could start art, dancing, or volleyball class, she would say, be careful in choosing where you will spend your time because you won't be able to quit. You will have to follow through with it until the end and do it well. So I really considered whether I would be able to commit something for a long time. And when I chose one thing I wanted to do, it made me figure out how to keep getting better at it and made me want to commit. Understanding the transformation process. Your body and brain will do everything it can to resist change and growth. See, this is a thing we need to understand, is that it's easy to quit when you're undisciplined. You need to know that it's natural to feel lazy and undisciplined, but you also need to know that you have all the power to fight it. Start with your thoughts. So these are some of the things that you need to do to develop a daily path towards discipline. Okay, there's a couple more here. Go above your feelings. The hardest part about discipline is maintaining the actions needed to achieve your dream or state of happiness. It requires constant hard work and fighting against comfort and instant pleasures. To do so, you have to separate yourself from the feelings that stop you, like fatigue, laziness, or self-pity. You have to go above them, even if your feelings tell you that you are tired, stressed, and alone in this struggle. Discipline is the direct training of a fighter. Resist the brain. All people are lazy, even the most successful business people, the most accomplished athletes, and the most trained actors. But it's not simple laziness. It's your brain saying energy for you, saving energy for you. Any movement takes energy, and the brain is doing everything to stop you from moving by sending body signals about how hard it is to move and thoughts about how scary it would be if you fail. But you can trick your brain. Imagine your body as a beautiful machine, and you're operating it as a higher force from above. Separate yourself from your body. Play it as a computer game. You are the one who commands your body and accomplishes tasks. Find pleasure in your hard work. Shift your focus to the process of concentrating on getting the work done faster and better every time. Speed is important. You have to move quickly in order to achieve perfection in a set amount of time. So many people quit too early. Success is all about persistence. Discipline is what gets you to your final destination, the realization of your dream. The more you learn about your craft and your capabilities, when you start seeing yourself improve, the results will make you hungry for more. Self-improvement is an amazing drug. Love discipline because it's a source of power. It is an engine that helps us understand and explore our capabilities and life opportunities. Discipline is not boring. It's the freedom to put all our energy and create something meaningful and beautiful. It's up to us to choose a life with discipline or without, with a goal or without, with a dream or without. And I'm going to leave you with the sixth principle of the Nguzo Saba, which is Kuumba, creativity. To do always as much as we can in the way that we can, we leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited. What is the community? The community of self. Leaving yourself more beautiful and beneficial than the body that you inherited. Because remember, this body was given to us. And we're just a soul that dwells inside of this body. And when we leave and we depart, we exhale, and just like when God blew the breath of life into us to give us life, when we exhale that last breath and release ourselves back to the universe, that's what this is all about. It's an energy journey. So understand your energy and understand the journey. With that said, hey, this is Baba Jahi. Let me sign off here for the day. I want to thank you for tuning in to Home Base Business 101. Make sure you tune in Monday at 3 o'clock. Ms. Victoria Falk will be back on the air. See, her first show for this Monday coming up is, let me pull up her show, she's going to be doing here. Her first show is going to be Learn how travel makes you happier and more productive. How travel makes you happier and more productive. All right, until next time, this is Baba Jahi. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Home Base Business 101.